Just as God commanded his son to be born through humble means, he often works through small, unexpected ways to fulfill his promises to us. That's what your young children, grandchildren, and godchildren will learn in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, O Bethlehem. This arch book would make a great Christmas gift for children ages 5 through 9. O Bethlehem is published by Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, or you can find out more at issuesetc.org. O Bethlehem.
We're doing really well with the evangelicals. And by the way, and again, I do like Ted Cruz, but not a lot of evangelicals come out of Cuba.
If it's all about happy, clappy, you know, Jesus is my best friend, we're all going to heaven, those folks are not going to make it, because the power of the culture to propagandize and to form the consciences of our kids and their minds is overwhelming.
If you could depict this with a nativity scene, there would be no baby Jesus. Mary was not pregnant with potential. Mary was pregnant with the God who spoke the universe into existence.
Hello. I want to say that foreigners with English as a second language also love Issues Etc. Bye.
I don't know who it is that coined the term political theater, but we certainly know it when we see it, don't we? The presidential debates, be the GOP presidential debates, and then to a lesser degree, because there's less drama on that side, the Democratic presidential debates, are quintessential political theater. They are a product of pop culture, and as much as they are a product of politics. Now, politics has always been a place for posturing, for acting, for presenting a face. But we, as Americans, so immersed in our pop culture, we kind of like the political theater better than we like the real hard politics, the kind of politics where we want to hear what candidates actually think, what they actually plan to do, what their policies are. That stuff just bores us to tears. But the political theater, that does not bore us at all. We like to watch it. We like it. The more theatrical, the better. We're going to be talking about pop culture in the GOP presidential race, the debates, the candidates, not so much their policies, but their place on the stage, so to speak. Pastor Jonathan Fisk will be joining us here on this Tuesday afternoon, December the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Now, you can join us a little bit later. We're going to be talking with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, co-host of the weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, our regular series with him responding to evangelical cliches. Today, God meets you where you are, or maybe a variation of that would be, this one kind of overlaps with a couple. This is God meets you where you are, and that could be taken literally as though, well, I don't go to church because God meets me where I'm at. He comes and visits me on Sunday morning in when I'm in my bathrobe, breaking into the wine early around 11 o'clock on Sunday morning. That's where God meets me, where I'm at. Or it can be taken metaphorically, which is that God accepts you just the way you are. Now, we hear this all the time. It sounds good. It's an evangelical cliche. Is it entirely true? We'll answer that question with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Table Talk Radio in our regular series, Responding to Evangelical Cliches, a little later here in Hour 2 of Issues, Etc. Join us with your questions or your comments, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can send us an email with a question or a comment. We get them right here in the studio in real time. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at @issuesetc. Or our beloved on-demand listeners, whenever, wherever you listen, feel free to use the Issues Etc. comment line, 618-223-8382. 618-223-8382. We're going, in just a day or two here, we're going into the Christmas holiday. And we've got some excellent talk radio for the Christmas season ahead for our listeners, beginning December 24th through January the 1st, the whole week of the beginning of the Christmas season. We're going to be talking about the Christmas hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. This is a never-before-studied hymn here on Issues Etc. Dr. Arthur Jest will join us from Concordia Theological Seminary to study that great Gerhardt hymn, O Jesus Christ, Thy Manger Is. A little bit later in that week of Christmas week, Martin Luther on Christ's birth, we're going to be doing a trifecta here of three great reformers on Christ's birth, beginning with the reformer himself, Martin Luther. Dr. Ken Sherb of Zion Lutheran Church in Moberly, Missouri, will be joining us to talk about Martin Luther on Christ's birth. We'll go to 16th century theologian, the second Martin, that is Martin Chemnitz, on Christ's birth. Dr. George Williams will join us of Zion Lutheran Church in Ainsworth, Nebraska. It is an excellent, excellent conversation with him on Martin Chemnitz and Christ's birth. I strongly urge you to tune in. Then we'll do the end of the trifecta, 17th century theologian Johann Gerhard on Christ's birth. Dr. Ben Mays of Concordia Publishing House will be our guest. Jesus, wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, those familiar words from Isaiah chapter 9 will be the subject of our conversation with Dr. Andrew Bartelt of Concordia Seminary. We'll take each one of those apart and talk about those titles for Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9 as part of our Christmas programming. And then Pastor Will Whedon, LCMS Director of Worship, will join us to talk about how the church observes Christmas Eve and Christmas Day, a classic ahead during the week of Christmas with Dr. Paul Meyer on the very first Christmas. That's our talk radio for the Christmas season, December 24th through January the 1st. You can listen at issuesetc.org. Joining us for our regular series, responding to evangelical cliches today, God meets you where you are, Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of a weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio, and host of the video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting Television. Brian, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you.
This one has a literal and a figurative meaning in the evangelical world. Let's deal with the literal first, and that is God meets you where you are. It sometimes goes with that, you know, I don't need to go to church to be a Christian. God can just as well come and speak to me, commune with me in my living room while I'm in my bathrobe drinking my coffee on Sunday morning as he can if I go to the trouble of going to church. How do you respond to that particular version here?
Yeah, that's right. One of the marks, and this is the thing that we've talked about a lot, and in fact, it keeps coming up, and I think it needs to keep coming up, is that one of the big problems with evangelical theology is that it doesn't have the sacraments. It is a theology in abstraction. That's one of the problems. So there is no Lord's Supper. There is no baptism. I mean, at least not in any sort of important and essential way to understand the way that God works with us. And in fact, there's no understanding of the efficacy of the Bible, which is what's underneath all of this. So we would say from the Scripture that God works through His Word to create and sustain faith. Objectively, that the hearing of the Word creates faith, like Paul says, the faith comes by hearing, and hearing the Word of God, Romans 10. And that we understand then that in when you have the water and the word of baptism, that God is in fact working. When you have the body and blood of Jesus with the bread and the wine and the promise given for you for the forgiveness of sins, that God is working. And evangelical theology rejects all of that. It rejects the efficacy of the word, and therefore it rejects the efficacy of the sacraments. In fact, the opposite of this is that anything that's going to be saving or have to do with God's grace is now going to be on the inside of me. And if God is working spiritually on the inside, then it doesn't in fact matter where I am on the outside. See? So I don't have to go to a certain place. I don't have to be in a certain location. I don't have to be gathered together in church on Sunday for the Lord to be working. In fact, it doesn't even really matter. Because I'm dealing with God in an internal and abstract way. Now, this is really a dangerous sort of way to approach God, because it's not the way that He's established, and it's not the way that He wants to bless us. But it results in a cliche like this: oh, I can worship God wherever I am. I can worship God at home in my slippers. I can worship God in the mountains. While I'm getting ready to go skiing, I can worship God wherever I want, because there's nothing for the church to gather around. There's no objective place where the Lord has promised to work in evangelical theology.
It does raise a question then, because as we had listeners point out, you know, when we were talking earlier about the cliche, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. One of our listeners did say, look, I know they use the cliche, but I don't know of any evangelical pastor that would tell you don't come to church, but they kind of shoot themselves in the foot with both of these. Then what is the reason that evangelicals are told they need to go to church?
Well, this is an interesting question, because once you, in some ways, the sacraments give you the purpose. You know, the church building is basically the roof over the pulpit and the font and the altar, where you hear the word preached and you receive the gift of baptism and the Lord's Supper. Well, you take all of those things out, which the evangelical church has done. They don't have fonts or altars or pulpits at all. It's just a stage. You know, literally, they've taken those things out. So now the church is not the roof over those places where the Lord has promised to come and meet us graciously with the forgiveness of sins. So then you say, well, what is the church? And what you've done is you've kind of pulled up the anchor, and now you're able to drift whichever way you want. So I think there's different ways that the evangelical theology will answer the question, what is the purpose of church? And in fact, I think, kind of looking at the last 40 years of evangelicalism, we've seen it experimenting with a couple of those answers. It seems like the major answer is the reason that you come to church is to be evangelized. You come to church to be converted. So the purpose of church, in fact, you know, a lot of churches have said this, with the idea of a seeker-sensitive service, that the church service is for the unbeliever, not for the believer. So the purpose of gathering to church, really for the Christian, is to bring those unchristian neighbors with you so they can become Christians. The other major answer that evangelical theology has given is that you come to church to be encouraged. So you have this picture of a gas tank. You know, this is another cliche. You go out and you drive around all week, and then you just run out of gas. So you got to come to church to be kind of spiritually charged up, to plug into the divine battery so you got enough juice to get you through the week. So those are some of the major answers. But the point is, you can really, evangelical theology lets you answer the question, why come to church, in any way that you want to. Because you're not coming because God has gifts to give to you there. That's not the reason you're coming to church. You're coming to church for some other reason, and it's up to the pastor, you know, the visionary pastor, to make up the reason.
So in other words, because of their denial of what really we would call the marks of the church, those things by which you know where Christ has established his church, and those things that do, in fact, by which Christ does establish his church, the word and the sacraments, by denying the efficacy or the existence, in some cases, of these things, they have to come up with a substitute, that you have as either an unbeliever or as an existing Christian to keep coming on Sunday morning.
That is exactly right, and exactly the point. And it's really quite amazing. I mean, there's this whole when you take away baptism and the Lord's Supper, the sacraments, and the efficacy of the preaching, then you have a huge question. Well, what should we do? And now this is why you need, for example, all the evangelical churches have mission statements and vision statements, because apparently it's up to them to make up what they're there for. Now, when we look at the Bible, we realize that this is not, the Lord doesn't say, hey, you know, whatever you want to do, just go ahead and do it. You can just make it up as you go. That's not what we're taught in the Scriptures, but that's basically the ecclesiology of American evangelicalism. And it gets taken up into this idea of evangelism. Really under the guise of evangelism. So, I mean, that's one of the reasons why evangelicalism is called evangelicalism, because they're supposed to be evangelizing, converting the world. And so that becomes the cover for whatever you want to do. So you want to have a more exciting service? Well, we need to do it for the sake of evangelism. You want to abandon the forms that the church has used for the last couple thousand years? Well, we can do that, no problem, as long as we say that it's for evangelism. And so not having the sacraments and having the guise of evangelism lets you basically change the service, the worship service, and do whatever you want. And then you say, well, see, look, God is meeting us where we are. We're going to people and being relevant in their lives. He's coming to us and meeting us as we are, and that is, we think, a good thing, because we're making it up ourselves.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, responding to evangelical cliches today. God meets you where you are. He's pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. When we come back, I don't want to get sidetracked by this, but it seems to be kind of related to another cliche we'll deal with in the future. And that is, well, if going to church on Sunday morning is all about evangelism, what if I've already been evangelized? I mean, I've already made my decision for Jesus. I'm already a Christian. Well, some have carried this to the logical conclusion and said, you know, you're right. The church isn't for you. It's only for unbelievers. We'll deal with that one briefly as we continue our conversation on God Meets You Where You Are, responding to evangelical cliches. Live this Tuesday afternoon, December the 22nd. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc.
Of an endless loop of pop Christmas music? Coming December 24th, Sacred Music for the Christmas Season, LutheranPublicRadio.org. Serenity. Stability. Solemnity. Lutheran Public Radio. Sacred music for the Christmas season. Coming Christmas Eve at LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Daily exercise for the Christian mind. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville, Illinois, engages young adults in a Christ-centered environment, delivering academic excellence and spiritual growth to develop Christian leaders for tomorrow. We provide a Christ-focused alternative to public high schools. Many of our students receive tuition assistance. To help us provide tuition assistance to more students, go to melhs.org and click on the giving page. Or call me, Dr. J. Krause, principal, at 618-656-0043.
In my family, education means cultivating wisdom and virtue by teaching what is good, true, and beautiful. Memoria Press makes this type of education possible with their classical Christian curriculum. Characterized by simplicity, quality, and affordability, Memoria Press gives my children a rich classical education. Get $5 off your next order by using the coupon code LPR. For more information, go to memoriapress.com. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We'll talk to Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, our regular series with him, responding to evangelical cliches today. God meets you where you are. Now, I was wondering when I was listening to you talk before the break, Brian, that it might be related to one that we need to put on the docket for a little more closer examination, because you were saying for the evangelical, kind of the default position without a robust teaching on the efficacy and the power of the word and sacraments, and the absence of the sacraments from, or the real sacraments from their worship, they basically say, okay, Sunday morning is for evangelism. You need to come to be evangelized, or you need to come as kind of the sponsor for somebody who needs to be evangelized. Is that why we often hear some pastors, I'm thinking about Stephen Furtick a couple of years ago, made himself famous by announcing that his church was not for Christians. It was only for unbelievers.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And that's a common understanding. In fact, I was just talking about this with someone the other day. Carrie and I were, and you said, you know, really, we realized that the worship service is for Christians. And they were, in fact, shocked by this, a Lutheran person. And they had never heard that before. I mean, it was just the assumption that the worship service was for unbelievers. But that's the service that begins not in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, but rather in the name of the unknown God. And that's not what Christian worship is. Jesus gathers us together to give his people his gifts. My sheep hear my voice. Now, there is a gathering to his word that Jesus is doing. So he's bringing the unbeliever in to the kingdom of light. But the church service is for the Christian. It's for the baptized. It's the gathering together of the baptized. So every time that the scriptures talk about getting together, it doesn't talk about gathering together with the unbelievers, but it talks about the fellowship that we have in Christ, the unity that we have in our confession. It talks about encouraging one another, in the faith, even all the more as we see the day of the Lord's return drawing nearer. So that every time the Bible talks about worship, it's not talking about the unbeliever, it's talking about the Christian. And the assumption is that the unbeliever is encountering the Word in their vocations, family and in their interactions in the state and with friendships and things like this. So they hear the Lord's Word, and then they're drawn to His church, but it doesn't make any sense. The worship of the church doesn't make any sense if you don't have faith. I mean, there's promises that are there to believe. You're right. We should maybe take that one up in its fullness, and it is particularly important.
Now, I'm wondering about this just as a way of kind of affirming something that the evangelicals get right by accident. You know, when they say you go to church to be evangelized, I could say as a Lutheran, of course I do. I go to church to be evangelized, but not because I'm not a Christian, but because as a Christian, I continue to need that gospel, that forgiveness of sins, and that I am evangelized in the divine service on Sunday morning, every Sunday, through that word and sacraments. What do you think?
Yeah, that's exactly right. So we would maybe say it like this, that the Lord's word works repentance for the Christian and the unchristian alike. Now, the evangelical understands repentance really as a one-time event, or if not a one-time event, kind of a monumental and defining event. It's the event of the time when you give your life to Christ. It's the time when you turn things around. In fact, that's that definition of repentance that the evangelicals love. It means a turning. Now, this is, of course, not what it means. It means repentance should rightly be understood as contrition and faith, sorrow over our sin, and rejoicing in the Lord's forgiveness. That's what the word means. But the evangelicals love the idea of repentance being that moment where I resolved to do better, to follow Christ more intimately, or whatever it is. And so you have this kind of revivalistic strain in American Christianity where you're getting worked up to that moment of commitment and that moment of resolve and that moment of repentance and turning. But we understand that every time the Lord deals with us according to His word of law and gospel, we are being given the gift of repentance by the Holy Spirit. The law shows us our sin, and it makes us, in fact, sorry for that sin, contrite. And the gospel gives us Christ who died for our sins, and it gives and strengthens our faith in that promise. So the Christian and the unchristian both need God's gift of repentance, and God gives that gift through the Word to both, non-Christians and Christians. And that's really what the worship service is, the Lord giving His law and His gospel out, His commands and His promises, and working repentance.
All right. Let's talk a little bit about the other notion of this. So you've got the evangelical who believes that God meets you where you are because the entire experience, the entire mechanism, as you said at the beginning of our conversation, is internal. So I kind of carry God around with me wherever I go. I'm like, you know, it's like my cell phone. You know, you can reach me any place. God can always reach me any place He wants to. There's also a different view of worship at work here, isn't there? Because someone says, I can worship God from the classic is from my bass boat. Okay. And I right. would say you certainly could, you know, get yourself a couple other Christians. Preferably one of them being a pastor. And if necessary, he certainly could preach a sermon and he could administer the sacraments. He could absolve. You could sing Christian hymns and make Christian prayers from a bass boat. You certainly could. But that's not what they're talking about.
That's right. That's right. I had that question. I think it's the first question I got when I was pastor here, the first Bible class. Someone said, Pastor, can we worship God in the mountains? And living right next to the mountains, and especially all these families, you know, used to love going up to the mountains on the weekend, or used to love go skiing. And you know, the answer is, it depends. I mean, if of course God is everywhere. I mean, there's not a place where you can go to hide from the Lord. Psalm 139. And in fact, the Lord has given the Christian the great gift of even carrying around the Word in our heart, and we rejoice in that. We don't want to discount that. But it depends on what you're doing up in the mountains on Sunday morning. You know, if you're in an airplane crash, and there you are, you know, all alone on top of some mountain on Sunday, and you wish you were at the Lord's altar receiving His body and blood and hearing the preaching, but for whatever reason you're kept from that, well, then of course you worship God there. And the Lord treats you with his kindness just as much as he does if you're in the church building. But if you just want to skip church and go skiing and are using the omnipotence of God as an excuse to break the third commandment, then no, you can't worship God in the mountains. Get to church. Hear the Lord's word. Repent of your sins. Be gathered together with his people. You're baptized, so you go to church on Sunday.
I think what's meant there, Brian, is, you know, yes, I might be, you know, I might be baiting the hook. I might be stringing on the fly, and I might be casting from my boat. Okay, I might be looking for a better place to where the fish are a little more abundant. But I'm out in nature. I feel close to God. The sun's shining. The breeze is blowing. You know, I'm kind of getting that sense of my place in the big picture. All that kind of stuff. I think that's what's meant. It feels kind of like there's something bigger than me out there. And sure, I know that's God. And that's what I mean by worship. How do you respond?
Yeah, well, Psalm 19 tells us something like that. It says the stars declare the glory of God, and nature shows forth his handiwork. But Paul tells us what that means in Romans chapter 1 and chapter 2, and he says that all we can learn the attributes of God from nature, but the only thing we can end up concluding is that God is angry at us. In fact, the classical distinction is we talk about the distinction between the natural knowledge of God and the revealed knowledge of God. And the natural knowledge of God, which we find in nature and even in our conscience, tells us basically three things about God: that he's big, and that he's good, and that he's mad. In other words, if you go and worship God in nature, you are never, ever going to conclude that God is incarnate in the womb of the Virgin Mary, dead on the cross, and raised from the dead. You are never going to get to the graciousness and love of God in the revealed doctrine of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And so you can worship according to nature. You can, but it is a worship of despair, and it is a worship that ends in wrath and damnation. So it is an idolatry to worship and to try to learn of God from nature and being out in nature, because in the end, the only thing we can know is that we're sinners deserving of God's wrath, and you cannot get any farther than that.
Then I guess kind of the other side of that is that someone says, well, so, but what about that feeling of communion that I have with God out there? I mean, if all I can learn from nature is that God is big, that he's good, but he's angry with me, that's not how I feel. I mean, I look at those mountains behind your church there, and I'm feeling the love. What do you say?
Yeah, well, you just have to stay out there overnight, I suppose, or, you know, watch a bear eating an elk or whatever, you know. How the liberals exegete the scripture, you just kind of take the passages that you want. Well, we have that kind of same exegesis of nature. you just pull out the parts of nature that you like, you know. But when you're sitting there starving, or when you're watching the Discovery Channel and survival of the fittest is right there in front of you, then you get a different doctrine, you know. So I don't doubt that we can wrongly exegete nature and say, oh, things are nice. But that only lasts so far, and it's really not a realistic view of God or of nature or of ourselves.
So you mentioned this before, and I want to talk a bit about it, kind of circle back around it. That is, when the church, either consciously or unconsciously, adopts this notion, God meets you where you're at. Therefore, you just come to church to do evangelism, which has to begin with attracting people in. You know, you can't evangelize empty rooms. You've got to get them in. Is that what accounts for, under the guise of being all things to all men, the way the church has gone in what it's done, and, as you say, an addiction to relevance under the guise of evangelism?
Yeah, I really think so. So you have, here's the picture. I'm going to try this on you, Todd, and see if it works, of what worship looks like if you don't have the sacraments. It's imagine that, you know, you called all the guys and say, hey, we're going to go play poker tonight at my house. And then everyone gets over to the house, but nobody brought any cards. So everybody's there to play poker, but there's no cards, there's no chips, There's you don't have the stuff you need to do that. So then you just look around and say, well, what do you want to do now? It's basically the evangelical picture of worship. Everyone's there, but well, what do you want to do now? And the way that it's gone is that everyone says, well, we should just get more people to come and join us. To do what? Well, I don't know. We just need some more people around here doing whatever it is we're going to be doing. So what should we do? We can do whatever we want. So what should we do to get more people to come? And probably the way to go is, well, we got to be relevant. We got to act cool. We got to attract people to ourselves. We got to make this a fun and engaging and entertaining place to be. And so you see, you know, and this is a kind of a steady stream of shenanigans that kind of flows through the evangelical church, which is just basically tricks to get people in the door. And now, should you be doing that in church, we might ask? Should you be, you know, forgetting or acting that way or doing that sort of stuff? Oh, you're kind of old and stodgy is the response. Well, Jesus meets us where we are. So that cliche becomes an excuse really to abandon any sort of sense of decorum or any sort of sense of reverence, any sort of sense of standing in awe of the Lord and his might, and to do whatever we need to do to get more people in here.
Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, responding to the evangelical cliche, God meets you where you are. It's Tuesday afternoon, December the 22nd, when we come back. There is a good thing about this cliche, but of course, since it is a cliche and it's only partly true, the good thing usually leads to more dangers. We'll talk about that after this.
Do you want your neighbors and community to see what you're celebrating this Christmas season? Why not display an outdoor nativity in front of your home or your church? It's a great way to show others what Christmas is all about, the birth of our Savior Jesus Christ. Check out the Outdoor Nativity Store at OutdoorNativityStore.com. Durable, affordable, and American-made nativities, OutdoorNativityStore.com. OutdoorNativityStore.com.
Martin Luther taught that the chief function of music and worship was the proclamation of the Word of God. With Heirs of the Reformation, Treasures of the Singing Church, you will hear over two centuries of Lutheran musical theology, beautifully performed and faithfully sung. For a limited time, save 10% on this 4-CD set when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music. Brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues, Etc.
Do you dread going to work out? Performance Fitness in Edwardsville offers a fun, supportive, tight-knit community and environment. Visit them on the web at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. 618-692-5063 or performancefitness618.com. Performance Fitness of Edwardsville.
Talk radio for the thinking Christian. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
I think every man, every Christian should consider, at least, the possibility of God calling him into the holy ministry.
Issues, Etc. regular guest, Dr. Carl Fekencher of Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Because that's the way that God has designed for faith in Christ Jesus to be spread, for the gift of eternal life that Christ Jesus earned by his death and resurrection to be shared with people by the washing of baptism for infants and for adults, for the instruction, the proclamation of the word that happens on a nonstop basis in God's kingdom. God uses people, he uses men to be those proclaimers, to be those men who share the sacraments.
If you've ever considered becoming a pastor, contact Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Their phone number, 1-800-481-2155, 1-800-481-2155, or visit ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're responding to the evangelical cliche, God meets you where you are. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest, pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado, co-host of the weekly radio talk show, Cold Table Talk Radio, and he does a video series called Grappling with the Text, a production of Worldview Everlasting Television. Tell us a little bit about Grappling with the Text, Brian.
Well, I think a couple months ago, I was goofing around with a way to kind of take our Bible study that we do here on Tuesday morning, we're studying now the book of Proverbs, and to kind of reduce it down to a little video for YouTube. It was originally for our college students from the congregation, and so I sent it to a couple of guys, including our mutual friend Jonathan Fisk, and he said, we got to do it. And so I think that was on Monday, and on Thursday we had done the first one and started producing it as a video for Worldview Everlasting. It's a the camera looks down at the paper, and I'm looking at the book of Proverbs. We're going to do another book next in a month or so, and drawing pictures and talking about the text. So it's about a 12-minute Bible study, looking through, 10, 15 verses a week, and trying to engage with the text in that way. So it's been a fun project, so if people haven't seen it, you might take a look. It might be something fun to add to your kind of devotional lineup or Bible study stuff. If you go to Worldview Everlasting on YouTube, you can find it there.
You can find out more about Grappling with the Text at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Brian, you say there is a something good about this cliche, God meets you where you are at, and you say it's because it lets us be sinners. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, there is this, one of the dangers, a theological dangers that we have when we realize that we're sinners, is that we think that, well, I'm a sinner, so I need to be far from God. You know, when you talk to people about why they don't go to church, sometimes the answer is, well, I'm not worthy. I'm not good enough to go to church. And the idea that there's something to be redeemed there, that God meets us where we are, is to say that, look, Jesus is not a stranger to sinners. Paul says, Christ came to save sinners, of who I am the foremost. Jesus is constantly teaching this by his sitting down and eating with the tax collectors and the Pharisees. There's a prostitute who comes and is washing Jesus' feet with her tears and her hair, and everyone's astonished. If he was the Messiah, he'd know what kind of woman this was, and he would tell her to stop, touching him. And Jesus asked the question, who loves more, the one who's forgiven a little or the one who's forgiven a lot? Is it not the one who's forgiven a lot? And she loves much because she's been forgiven much. And so Jesus shows us page after page that he does not want to be a stranger to sinners. In fact, there's a great Luther line, something like, Christ came only for sinners. And that's our confidence, that we do not need to somehow purify ourselves before we come before the Lord, before we hear his word, before we're gathered to his church. We come not because we're pure, but precisely because we're sinners. And the only hope for sinners is Christ. So that we have to be sinners to stand before him. Another quote from Jesus where he says on this topic, the well do not need a doctor, it's only the sick. And he was talking about the Pharisees who were not well. They were sinners just like everyone else, but they thought that they were perfect. They thought that they were holy. And if you think that you're holy, then you have no need for Jesus. If you think that you don't have sins, then you have no need for forgiveness. And so the idea that Jesus meets us as we are, insofar as it lets us be sinners and know that it is sinners that Christ wants to gather to himself, then it is particularly helpful.
Now, you say that can, sadly, in evangelicalism, even that one little strength of the cliche can kind of get taken away, because here's how the cliche may actually go. God meets you where you are, but he won't let you stay there. What's being said here, and what's the bigger kind of presupposition of evangelicalism in that extended cliche?
Sure. Well, this is going to be one of these places where the the danger of the theology is in its emphasis, because it is true that the same faith that grabs a hold of the promise of God also takes hold of the Holy Spirit, who is living and active, and who, in fact, is working in the lives of Christians, teaching us repentance and faith, and also helping us to bear the fruits of repentance, which would be good works. So it is true that the Lord is he is walking us along the path of a deeper understanding of His mercy. And also, He is teaching us what it means to love Him and our neighbor more and more. So there's a way that our Christian life it exhibits a change, and that's true. But this is not ever the emphasis in the Scriptures. The emphasis that the Scriptures put on is not on us and our works and our change or our whatever, but on Christ and His kindness and His love and His mercy. And one of the marks of the evangelical church is it puts the emphasis not on the work of Christ, but on the work of the Christian. It's a doctrine that we can call pietism, which, you know, we can define a number of different ways, but perhaps it's helpful to say that the growth in good works is more important than the unity of doctrine in the church or the confession of faith for the individual Christian. And so the emphasis is put in evangelical churches on my improving life, on my getting better and better, rather than on Jesus and His mercy and His kindness. And really, it can get so extreme that at some point you get the doctrine of sinless perfection in a lot of evangelical churches, where a person can reach a point where they don't need the Lord's mercy. You can actually get so good that you don't need Jesus and His cross anymore. And that is a particularly dangerous and unhelpful theological place to be.
So the picture there, Brian, seems to be, you know, Jesus at first, He'll come and meet you where you are, but He's not going to let you stay there. Eventually, you're going to have to meet Him where He's at, and you're going to have to He'll come and tolerate you to a certain degree, but sooner or later, you're going to have to shape up.
Right, that's right. He'll meet you where you are now, but in a couple of weeks, you better be a little further along. Jesus is less willing to come down into your sin week by week by week, and that is not the case. Jesus never, ever becomes tired of forgiving our sins. He never becomes weary of it. He never gives up on it. He always has more mercy and more kindness and more grace. So we can never out-sin the Lord's kindness. He will always find us in our sin, always. In fact, part of our Christian growth is that we realize more and more how bad our sin is, how deep it goes, how profoundly sick we are, how sin has corrupted absolutely everything in us, and as we realize how profound our sin is, we realize more and more how profound the love of Christ is, how deep His sacrifice is for us, that it makes His love inescapable.
Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is our guest. Now, we've noticed what we've done here is we've kind of transitioned a little bit from the more literal reading of this cliche, God meets you where you are, that means I stay home, God can meet me there, I don't have to go to church, to the more figurative meaning, which is, well, God meets you where you are spiritually, and we'll talk about that a little bit on the other side of the break. Pastor Brian Wolf Miller is co-host of the weekly radio talk show called Table Talk Radio and pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado.
Did you know that Luther Academy has been providing continuing education for confessional Lutheran pastors and lay people worldwide for more than 20 years? Luther Academy promotes confessional Lutheran theology through conferences, scholarly exchanges, and publications like Logia, the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic Series, and Luther Digest. Find out more about Luther Academy and sign up for their free email newsletter at lutheracademy.com. lutheracademy.com.
Our cities are some of the greatest mission fields on the planet, but the footprint of the church is shrinking. We dare not shrink from our cities. Christ is needed now in our urban areas. From chaos, turmoil, decay, death, and destruction, Jesus brings peace, hope, resurrection, eternal life, and rebuilding. And you can help by being a hero for the city. Find out how at lcms.org/citymission or on Facebook at LCMS City Mission. Every city needs a hero. Capes and helmets not required.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Christ Jesus, the image of the invisible God. For unto us a child is born. The titles of Christ, Good News of Great Joy, the Magnificat. These are some of the Christ-focused themes offered by Ad Crucem this Christmas. Shop adcrucem.com for greeting cards, gifts, housewares, ornaments, music, and much, much more. Available from adcrucem.com, confessing the faith through word and art. Adcrucem.com, ADCRUCEM.com.
Thank you for donating more than $80,000 to Issues Etc. in the past 3 weeks. With 2 weeks left in 2015, we're $16,000 short of expenses. Please consider making a year-end tax-deductible gift online at issuesetc.org, or you can contribute by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of Issues Etc. at the end of the year. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller is our guest. 10 more minutes with him, responding to the evangelical cliche, God meets you where you are. Well, we kind of deftly transitioned a little bit there between the more literal meaning that I want to come back to at the end of our conversation and a more figurative meaning of this cliche. And it really deserves, and I think what we'll do is we'll kind of get it started, and then maybe next time we'll take up this Jesus accepts you just the way you are kind of thing. But the two overlap a little bit here, Brian, and that is, you know, God's going to meet you where you are spiritually. Now, you said before the break, you made it very, very strongly, in terms of our sin, Jesus doesn't say, clean up your act and then we'll talk. But what's wrong with this notion that God meets you where you are spiritually when it's used in evangelical parlance?
Well, especially when it comes to the worship service. Well, I shouldn't say that. When it comes to any sort of devotional thing, so worship and private devotion as well, there is the great idea that that we ought to be chummy with Jesus. This is another one of the marks of the evangelical doctrine. So we talked about their kind of revivalistic lack of the sacraments. We talked about their addiction to relevance under the idea of evangelism. But now this is maybe where those two things meet up together, and that is the picture of the relationship, that to be a Christian means to have a relationship with Jesus. And this is not, I mean, it means relationship in the term of a friendship. It's often, in fact, expressed in kind of these boyfriend-girlfriend terms of the intimate relationship. And it basically comes down to the idea that Jesus is my friend. Now, I don't know how to teach this well. I'll just give it a shot. Is that it is true in the Scripture that Jesus is our friend, but that should be to us a surprise. It is true that Jesus is kind to us, but that should come as an astonishment to us. It's true that Jesus will come along next to us and call us his friend and interact with us in a gentle sort of way, but that is a mind-blowing reality. It's never something that we expect. I mean, it's almost, I suppose, what happens if you have the kind of the gospel preached without the law, is that the Lord is, it just becomes that the Lord is a nice guy. That he's a good friend, that he's a buddy, and we if we don't start with the fact that the Lord is holy and we are completely unholy, that the Lord is righteous and that we are sinners, and that what we deserve from God is wrath, condemnation, death, in both temporally and eternally, then the gospel completely lacks a surprise. So you have this, like in the four spiritual laws, which say God loves you and has a wonderful plan for your life, and we say, oh yeah, of course he does. That just seems right. As opposed to saying, what? Are you kidding? God loves me? Christ has died for me? My sins are forgiven? This should come as an absolute astonishment to us. And the same thing is true that Jesus wants to be our friend. This should not be something that we expect, but something that should, every time we hear it, absolutely blow our mind with this understanding. that Jesus wants to be so friendly to us. But the idea, oh, God meets you as you are, it lets this idea of the kind of casual chumminess that you want to try to achieve in your relationship with Jesus is good and healthy and the way things are supposed to look.
Well, we've got to get this friend thing clear here, the nature of the relationship. It's Jesus befriends sinners. He befriends enemies. And thereby, through the forgiveness of sins, he reconciles enemies to himself by the blood of the cross. That's not the emphasis, really, in evangelicalism sometimes. Sometimes it's kind of like he's waiting by the phone.
Yeah, that's right.
Got nothing to do on a Saturday night. He's washed his hair and no place to go.
Yeah.
And he's waiting for your call.
Hey, Jesus, want to go out for a couple of drinks? You know, this kind of thing. No, that is wrong. You cannot have the friendship of God apart from the death of Jesus. You cannot have the kindness of God apart from the divine Son of God becoming human, taking upon himself our humanity and suffering God's wrath on the cross. You cannot have the gentleness of Jesus apart from his blood that he shed and the darkness of Good Friday. You cannot have those things. It's not just like God is a super nice guy. No, God has borne our sins in our place, suffered hell in our place, so that he might be kind and loving. The love of God is not just sort of in some innate shape of his heart towards us. It's not his disposition to us apart from Christ and his incarnation and death and resurrection. And that's the great danger, that we somehow start to think about ourselves and Jesus apart from our sin and apart from his cross. And if we do that, if we start to picture the Christian life and not think of our own sinfulness and the deserving and the hell that we deserve, and not thinking of his kindness and the hell that he suffered so that he might give it to us, then it just simply devolves into this kind of mushy chumminess, this kind of casual relationship talk that has nothing to do with mercy and everlasting life and the resurrection and law and gospel. It's just simply God likes you a lot, and you should like him a lot for liking you. And that is not Christianity. It's something totally different.
You say it's also a practical denial of the incarnation. What do you mean, Brian?
Well, that's right, because in the incarnation, we have God who is in our flesh. It's the one who is completely other now coming to be our brother and our friend. And this chumminess of God denies the otherness of God, the divinity of Christ, the holiness of Jesus, the fact that he is the creator and we are the created. It kind of completely skips over that and says, look, Jesus is a man just like us. Well, it's true that Christ is a man just like us, but that is an astonishing surprise, because he is also the one begotten of the Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God. And the chumminess of Jesus and the chumminess of evangelical piety completely destroys the surprise of the incarnation and even more the surprise of the death of Jesus on the cross.
And isn't it ultimately a setting up the evangelical who kind of buys into that notion of this is primarily kind of the friendship relationship with Jesus, setting them up for a terrible disappointment? Because, look, if I need to talk to somebody, I'll go home and talk to my wife, who is my one friend in this world. I'll talk to her. And there is something about that relationship that where there's the mutual give and take, mutual consolation, those kinds of things. I can't sit there and have that kind of conversation with Jesus, not because he's not capable of it, but because he deals with me only according to his word. I don't say, hey, Jesus, what do you think about the Star Wars movie? Oh, I thought it was great. We can't do that kind of thing with Jesus. Well, your thoughts?
Yes, but this is let's write this one down as another cliche, because the evangelical church has invented a cliche to get around that, and that is the idea that God talks to us in our prayers. And so when you go to pray and spend your quiet time with Jesus, you expect to hear his voice. You expect to hear a word from him. You expect him to speak to you in impressions and things like that. So that because you've shaped how it is with me and Jesus in the shape of a casual friendship, now you've adjusted your expectations to go completely beyond what Jesus has promised and taught in the Scriptures. So in some kind of ironic ways, this idea that God meets you at where you are has led to false expectations in evangelical piety, and that is really dangerous. I mean, I remember any number of times, and these stories are kind of embarrassing, but I remember any number of times where I was expecting Jesus to deal, to talk directly to me, to teach me something directly, and it didn't happen, and it would spin me off into weeks of despair and doubt, unbelief, really, because I had built up the expectations of how Jesus was going to interact with me through the cliche of the relationship, the idea of having a relationship with Jesus, and not through what God had promised in his word.
Pastor Brian Wolf-Miller is pastor of Hope Lutheran Church in Aurora, Colorado. Brian, thank you very much.
You got it.
Folks, if you appreciate our weekly series with Pastor Wolf-Miller responding to evangelical cliches, please make a year-end tax-deductible contribution to support Issues Etc. Any size donation is deeply appreciated. You can make a year-end gift by check, make your check payable to Issues Etc., and send it to Issues Etc., Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. The address again, Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also make a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. Thanks for listening, and thanks for thinking of us when you consider your year-end giving. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll have Pastor Ted Giese review the movie Star Wars, The Force Awakens. We will respond to a Roman Catholic proof text there in 2 Thessalonians 2:15. Pastor Stephen Parks will be our guest. And we will wrap up our final live hour of Issues Etc. before the Christmas break with an Issues Etc. tradition. It's what's your favorite Christmas hymn and why? Now, you can vote in advance at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Tomorrow, your answers to the question, what's your favorite Christmas hymn and why? We want to know which is the hymn, why it's your favorite, and where you're listening. Facebook.com/issuesetc. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.